This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 22, 2017, the third Sunday after Epiphany, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light.
May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This comparison between the darkness and the light is something that is common fare for us throughout the Scriptures. Our first reading today from the Old Testament spoke of it. It's repeated word for word in the New Testament Gospels. We look at particularly the letters of St. John the Divine. He is adamant about this comparison between the light and the darkness. Every time that something is presented to us in Scripture by way of illustration, like the light and the darkness, is something that points us in a direction. It points us in a direction. It does not explain things to us. We can not come to know truth just by mere illustration. We have to actually experience and live our life of Christ to know the light that he shines in our lives. This whole idea of darkness and light. St. Denis says, and I quote, "Things above cannot be known by comparison with things below." Doesn't say we can't get oriented by illustrations. We can't get pointed in the right direction, but you can't know by comparisons the things that are in heaven with things that we understand. But it does point us in the right direction. Now, generally in the discussions of darkness and light, we talk about sin and how dark that is, and that is very true, but that's a different subject for a different day. I want to talk about the light today, but I want to talk about it in a practical sense, not in the sense that you can hear it, sounds like real churchy talk, the darkness and the light, that, you know, okay, I know Jesus Christ, it's like a light switch was flipped on and now I'm good to go. That's not what he means by using light as an illustration. He wants us to understand light as an illustration from a reality standpoint, from a knowledge standpoint. And when we look at light the way it is truly utilized in our lives, then we will understand how we need to utilize the light of Christ. And yes, it is part and parcel your business to use the light that Christ shines in your life. Everybody gets the darkness of sin part. Sin, when we don't do what God says, then we're in the darkness of sin. Yeah, okay. There's another part of darkness that's much more subtle, and I would submit to you, much more dangerous, and that is the darkness of error. When people are in error, they think everything is okay. There are millions and millions of people walking the face of this planet that think they're okay with God, and they have a completely erroneous way as to which to approach Him. Because our God has told us, revealing to Himself in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, that true light which comes down from heaven, He has told us that our Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life, and no one will get to the Father but through Him. That is the true light which shineth in the world. All other lights are false. When we look at this light, we need to know how to use it. We want to understand that if we're not really attuned, if we're not using the light, we can be in error. And another thing we have to know about ourselves, we like the darkness. I don't like dark. Yes, you do. We can't help it. It's our fallen human nature. We like the darkness. We are comfortable in the darkness. It's much easier to be in the dark than it is in the light. I said a couple weeks ago, several weeks ago now, in a different context, I said, we do our worst sinning at night, and or by ourselves. Why? Because no one sees. We're in the darkness. That's what I mean about we love the darkness. We love to do the things that we ought not do and not do the things that we ought do. We like that. We've got to fix that. And you fix it by light. When we talk about light that shines in the darkness, we hear it in the last gospel after almost every Mass, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In the newer versions of Scripture, it says that the darkness has not overcome it. Comprehended it does not mean, it's a transliteration of Latin, comprehenderunt, which means more embracing. The darkness will not embrace the light. The darkness will resist the light. We don't like the light. We like the darkness. When Jesus Christ shines the light in our souls of His grace, then we need to start utilizing that light. It is that He does His thing, we do ours. That is our salvation. When Jesus Christ shines the light in our souls, the light of redemption, there's three things we really need to worry about. Grace, what we do with it, and how we let others influence us when we talk about this idea of light. Let's talk first about God's grace. That initial time when the light switch is thrown. God's grace is different for different people. Generally the same for most, but He does work differently. St. Paul, for instance, he's on his way to arrest and kill some more Christians. That is his part and parcel. Saul of Tarsus breathing out fire upon the church. Well, Paul is on his way to arrest some more Christians, and our Lord Jesus Christ, by His grace, throws the spotlight, the searchlight, like the one of the big ones that they tow behind a truck. He gets that dead in his face. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you persecute. From that moment, Saul of Tarsus to Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. That obvious, that bright, no question. Let us move on. God does not normally work like that in most people's lives. Generally speaking, God throws on a light switch at one end of a house and we're at the other. Our approach generally, or the approach that I generally hear, not just articulated, but basically with the way people do things, is I think they have this understanding that Jesus' light is like if you throw a light switch on in a warehouse or a ballroom or in this place, you know, these four walls. I come in here, I turn on these lights right here. Everyone can see everything in this room. Everything's light. Not a problem. You see everything. Our souls are not like that. Our souls are not like this room. They are not a big open space. Our souls are like a tremendously huge house that has different floors. And then in every room, there are closets with doors on them. There are drawers that are closed. There are cabinets with doors that are shut. What happens when our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is how He works with most people, He opens the front door of the house and He turns on the light switch. And you're in the back room on the third floor. Are you even going to notice one difference in the darkness in that room because Jesus turned the light switch on? No, you're not. And if you really think about it, that's most of our, and I don't mean, that's evil. You shouldn't be like, that's how we are. Most of us are baptized when we're little infants. When you're a little infant and you're baptized, the Holy Spirit overshadows by His light the darkness of original sin. In the case of adult, original sin and any actual sins that have been committed, He throws on the light. But again, for most of us, it's when we're infants. Do you really think for one moment that after an infant is baptized here, he knows that he has the light of Christ in his life? No. And it's not his fault. It's not his fault at all. What has to happen now? By His baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ has thrown on the light switch in the front room, right by the front door, and the child is in way back in the house in a dark room, what has to happen? Exactly what is supposed to happen. His parents and his godparents, who have that light of Christ, they go back and they get the child and they bring him toward that light. They bring him toward the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they turn on light switches throughout the house, or they use flashlights. You know, this analogy of them using their light to bring someone who doesn't know how to get to it themselves to bring it. And then all of a sudden the child reaches an age of accountability. Then it's up to that child to start turning on the light switches on their own. You know, and they're not without help. They have the church, they have the mass, they have the sacraments, all these good things to help turn on more light switches. That's our spiritual life. That's what we're supposed to do. And as you walk through the house, the myriad rooms that are in that house, as you turn them on, this is the way most people are with it. They turn on the light and they go, yeah, there's a room. Oh, this is kind of dirty. Here, let me tidy up a tad. And they tidy up the room where the light is, and they go, okay, that's good, that's done. And they haven't opened the closets, or they haven't opened the cabinets in that room. And they cleaned up the room, and there's a closet door over there. What's in there? Boom. And fetid, nasty trash falls all out of the closet that's been packed in there. It falls out into the clean room floor. And what do you got to do? You got to clean that up too. You clean it up, and then you move on to the next closet. And you move on to the next room. That's our spiritual life. That is what we are in our souls as we progress in our relationship with Christ. And that progression of relationship is getting closer and closer and closer to His light. The closer you get to Jesus Christ, the more trash you ought to understand that's within you. That's a good thing. So many people beat themselves up. I can't believe it. I've been a Catholic for 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, and I feel worse than I ever did. Good. Good. Because you know it's dirty in there. So what do you do? If you know it's dirty, start clicking on more lights and opening doors and cleaning things up. That's our spiritual life. That is how we have to orient ourselves to the light that Christ shines by His grace into our lives. We have to move toward it. We have to increase it by any means that we can to have an understanding of what's going on around us. The grace of our Lord turning on the lights, the necessity of us orienting ourselves to that light. But I did mention others. Others can positively help us because they have the light. They can bring a flashlight to us and they can turn on light switches for us. And we should use that light that they impart. Be careful, because there are other people who will try to make you embrace that comfort that there is in the darkness. The light really starts getting bright. It can start hurting your eyes. Yeah? You go to the beach and you got no shades on? What do you do? Open an umbrella. Throw a little shadow on here. That's unfortunately our spiritual life also. Ooh, I see how dirty it is in here. This is a reaction a lot of people. Click on the light. Whoa! Click off the light. Shut the door. Out of sight, out of mind. No, it ain't. It might be out of your sight. But guess what? Trash. You know, we don't clean our house, not a big deal. We don't clean our souls, problems in eternity. Okay? So be careful of the others who might go, it's really bright in here. Here, take a step into the shadow. Oh, it's more comfortable in shadow. Here, shut the door so much light doesn't come in. That, you got to watch that. You have to watch others. You got to make sure that they have the light in their souls also before you ask them for help in guiding you toward the light. When we have the light of Christ, the light is our first line of defense against evil. When I was in the military, you set up a defensive position and you'd set up trip flares. So if somebody was trying to sneak up on you and it was night, guess what happened? They hit the wire and a little light came on. And as soon as that little light came on, guess what happened? You started popping flares. You shoot other flares up. You make it a lot more light so you can see the enemy. That is using the light of Christ. That first prayer that we had, that our Lord will stretch out his hand of defense. The first line in that defense of him stretching out his hand is, here, I've given you this light, now use it. You know, those trip flares and flares that you shoot up in the sky, they're meaningless if you don't use them. Oh yeah, I got this light right here. Well, shoot it up in the air, guy. Don't just sit on it. Unfortunately, a lot of people sit on the light that Christ shines in their life, where they like the darkness better. The light is our first line of defense, and the next thing that the light does is to give us clarity. The light gives us a clarity in faith. St. Paul, in the second reading today to Corinthians, says, I appeal to you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, that you may be united in the same mind and same judgment. Paul is speaking of a condition in which the light is shining. Because if I turn on the lights in here, we all see. If there's something dangerous in here, we can all see it. We are living in a time today where, as I just said, clarity is a consequence that light is there. When there is a lack of clarity, that is a sure sign of darkness being there. You are living in a day and an age when your Catholic Church is in darkness. It is in darkness, and it's not because I say so. It's in darkness because you can understand it by the lack of clarity that there is in the Catholic Church. I point out quite frequently, before the mid-1960s, it didn't matter where you lived, what you did, if you were a Catholic, whether you liked it or you hated it, even if you weren't a Catholic, you knew what the Catholic Church taught about certain things. Those days of clarity are no longer. It is just the opposite. Completely the opposite. Just this week, prime example. Some bishops in Malta, they say that people who are living in unrepentant, mortal sin, if they discern within themselves that they're okay with God, they can receive the Eucharist. Bishops said that. This same week, our bishop, praise God for him, said unrepentant sinners cannot receive communion in the parishes of the personal ordinariate of the chair of St. Peter. He said that in a pastoral letter, which some of you might have gotten in the mail. You're going to get it handed to you when you leave here today. Read it. The differences between the two are this. One is light and one is dark. They cannot meet. You cannot explain both of them. They are two antithetical things. Mortal sinner, you can receive communion if you discern that you're good to go. Over here, no. If you're living in mortal sin, you will not receive communion. Light, darkness. That's all there is to it. Clarity. And why is it clear? Well, they're just saying two different things. No, they're not. One is saying something that is a complete disconnect with Scripture, Catholic tradition, and the memorial teachings of the Catholic Church magisterium. Complete discontinuity. The other, our bishop, he didn't have to take a whole long time, right? Because all he says is what Jesus says. That's clarity. That shows light. When you're in the darkness, you got to make up all kind of things. You got to improvise. You got to be innovative. You don't have to be innovative if the light's on. Nobody's got to point you to the clarity. It's clear. The lack of clarity now, doctrinally, liturgically, a lot of people, they don't get this idea that before the 1960s, if you went to Mass here, in Beijing, China, in Berlin, Germany, in Sao Paulo, Brazil, you saw the same exact Mass. There were the same exact readings. It was in the same language. It shouldn't have been like that. That's stability. A commentator this week just said this. At one time, the confusion of the world was crushed against the rugged stability of the Church of God. Men need a steadfast rock to build upon, and inside the church they found that stable composedness, which gave them the confidence necessary to brave the struggles of the times. I hear a lot of people, they call, they email, they come, oh my gosh, this is going on in the world, in the church. It used to be it was in the world. In the world there was a problem. But you came in here for stability. You came in here because it was always the same. It was a rock. It was a foundation. No question. We don't see that anymore. We don't have that. This mass looks like this. This mass looks like that. We do this. We do that. We don't like that. We don't like that. There is no stability whatsoever. There is no clarity. There is no light. Because where is the light, there is clarity. That's what we need to strive for. Because in clarity, you know our Lord Jesus Christ's light. I started this out with saying you cannot know by comparison. You can't just compare light and darkness. Yeah, I used to be in darkness, now I'm in light. Leave it at that and move on. What does that mean? That's abstract, it's ambiguous, whatever. No, you have to know things by experiencing them. And you have to experience our Savior. You have to experience His light. When you go to some masses and you experience His light, you go to others and it's a social gathering, it's not the same thing. There is no clarity. You got bishops saying one thing, you got bishops saying another. There is no clarity, that's darkness. We need to start striving for the light. We need to start embracing light. We need to start walking toward that light. In the Father, and in the Son, and in the Holy Ghost.